Okay, hello?
Is the speaker on? Am I on? Well, it's funny because the wind has died down a little bit because I was watching the first two guys and the wind was really whipping. So I was like, okay, forget my sermon. I ditched the sermon I was going to preach and I had started thinking about another sermon and I got that all put together in my head. And so for the last speaker, I kept thinking, what am I going to preach? So I've decided to go with the new sermon that's floating in my head. So it's not safe at all. You know, it's always a blessing to preach, whether the crowd's small, whether the crowd's big. It doesn't really matter to me. It's just a privilege to be able to preach the gospel. I want you to know it was great seeing Kevin here, the real Kevin, that is. And, yeah, this Kevin, too. I really appreciate him. We were all together. I guess the fake Kevin and the real Kevin and I were together in 2011 at my brother-in-law's church camp, and we were preaching on stage. And I had went back to the dorms where we were staying, and the music guy, I can't remember his name, but the music guy that was there that...
Kenny Zug.
Yeah, maybe, no, it was the one that did the kids. It was with the kids. His name was Andy.
Oh, Andy.
And Andy said, he stopped me, he says, do you smell it? And I said, no. He said, I smell fire. I said, well, where's it at? And he said, it's in Kevin's room. I said, don't worry, I know what to do. So, of course, I remember as a little kid, you know, I kind of touched the doorknob. We smelt smoke, but the doorknob wasn't hot. And I remember pushing him out of the way, and I just kicked the door in right off the frame and everything. And, yeah, it was great. And, of course, what it was is there was the window was open, and someone had a campfire behind the building. And I had my son go run and get my brother-in-law. And Gary came in all huffing and puffing and sweating. He says, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. And he just stood there looking at his door kicked in. I walked out of the building to go back to the tent, and Kevin Yeager was coming back to his room with his guitar and Bible. I said, I kicked your door in. He said, okay. You know, I want you to know, when it comes to the idea of preaching the gospel, when it comes to the idea of life, do we really see our need? You know, it's easy to see the needs around us when it has to do with somebody else. When we're sitting in a McDonald's line and we're waiting for our order and it's not getting there fast enough to us, you know, we're quick to see the need. This service isn't good. You know, we're quick to make a complaint if it doesn't taste right. When it comes to Washington, I think we all can see the need there, can't we? Doesn't matter if it's Democrat, doesn't matter if it's Republican. We see a need because we have a bad leadership in a lot of areas, and we've got a lot of problems when it comes to politicians. When we see the problems with the nation, I mean, it's overwhelming now with the idea of homosexuality, abortion, and the economy, and just the morality of the nation. We see a need. We see the problem. I tell you what, when it comes to the idea of homes today, again, we see the need. When over 55% of all first marriages end divorce, whether it's Christian or non-Christian alike, I mean, we see a need. There's a problem. And the more you get married, the chances of your marriage working out are less and less because the divorce rate goes up from there. When we see the need in the church, we see how the church is changing today. The church has the be like them. They want to be like the church down the road. And the church has forgotten about her principles and her love of the Word. See, we see the need, but the question is, do we see the needs in our own personal lives? It's easy to see the needs around us everywhere, but do we see the need that we need in our personal lives? See, there's a man in the Bible who never got to see that need. There was a need that he needed to learn about and know about, and it's a need that we need again in the church. It's a need we need in preaching, and it's a need that we need in our own lives, and hopefully we can find what that need is as we look at God's Word. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and the privilege to have been here at the crossroads. Lord, it's an honor to be able to stand before you and stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ to proclaim the gospel. But Lord, help us to figure out what our true need really is to this afternoon. And whatever that need is, I pray that it'll be met because of Christ. Father God, be with us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. You know, Jonah lived in a time that Israel was very successful. It was in a time that prosperity was at an all-time high. There were good jobs, there was money to be made, and the nation at that time was doing very well. King Jeroboam II was king, and though he was evil in the eyes of the Lord, for the most part, he had been a successful king in the eyes of the people because he had regained some land that had previously been taken from them. And for Jonah himself, he was a popular preacher or a popular prophet. He was a patriot. When he preached, I mean, people listened. And I mean, he was the man of his day until the day the Lord came to him in Jonah chapter 1. See, what we see from Jonah is he definitely was called, not just to be a prophet in Israel, but he was called to the mission field. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, it says this, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" I want you to know when Jonah got that call, it was a call that he wouldn't have wanted. He didn't mind going to Israel. He didn't mind doing whatever God wanted him to do with his own people. He could preach any sermon. He could go to the king. He could do what needed to be done. But when God finally called him to actually go and to leave and go to Nineveh, that's a call he just didn't want. Now, again, think of the time it was going to take to get there. It may take a month to get there, to go to the north, northeast, go over 600 miles, and to travel to the capital of the world of the day. The world empire was Assyria that ruled for 400 years. From 900 AD to 612 BC, it was Assyria that ruled the world, and Nineveh, the great city, was the capital of not just the empire, but the world. But Nineveh didn't want to, or Jonah didn't want to go there. His father, Amittai, we don't know who he is, but we know that he probably wouldn't have wanted him to go there. Now, what we do know about Jonah is he was from a place called Gath-Heber. Now, I've never been there. You might have been there. I don't know. So Phil's probably been there. And believe it or not, Jonah was a prophet from Galilee. Gath-Heber, again, was in the southern part of Galilee. And again, we don't know whether he was home or whether he wasn't when he got this call. You know, as Christians, we all have a call. We all have a purpose. There is a need for us to serve the Lord and to give our all. And I'm telling you, there should be a strong need there to serve the Lord. If we're not serving the Lord, we shouldn't be happy. If we're not serving the Lord, we shouldn't be content. If we're not serving the Lord, then we should feel that there's something missing in our life as a Christian. We should have that burning desire, that need to serve the Lord, and the Lord shouldn't have to call us too hard. We ought to do what the Bible says, and we should live our lives every day serving the Lord. But the problem is, Jonah got a call. He didn't see the need. Also is the idea that Jonah, he got trapped. This wind is a case. My pages are very delicate. I need a stiff Bible like some of you guys. In 3 through 5, we see Jonah's... How about Jonah running? Let's catch him running first. 3 through 5. "Now Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He went down with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great storm... or a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and laid down and fell fast asleep." Amazingly, Jonah actually was quick to react to the Lord. His call, he was quick to react. He was so quick, he lost the direction he was supposed to go in. He should have went north. He went west, southwest. In fact, Jonah, he was such a good runner. If he was at home when he got the call, and of course, you know he probably was at home. Do you know how that is? Because they didn't have cell phones in the day, so it's probably just a home phone. Anybody? Nothing? Okay. So if he was at Gath-Heber in southern Galilee, he got the call. God said, go to Nineveh. He put it down, said no. He grabbed his bags. He headed to go to Joppa, which was the port, the main port on the Mediterranean Sea. And it's amazing, a famous, an honorable, a great prophet, who was a great man, I guess, at one time, he was able to quit the Lord just like that. Now that's amazing. You know, one thing ministry's not is it's not a plate that just is something you order. You can't order just shrimp and steak and potatoes. What it is a buffet, but somebody else is making your plate. You don't get to pick and choose. There's a lot of options what's going to happen in the ministry. There's a lot of options what's going to happen to your life, but you don't pick often what happens. People fix your plate for you. Situations fix the plate. Life fix the plate. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? If people think ministry is easy, they're probably wrong. But I think ministry is the place to be. I think preaching the gospel is one of the greatest things that any man can endeavor to do who is a Christian man. Preaching the gospel is where it's at. But the question is, what are we going to look for? Just the easy? Are we going to look just for the things that's going to benefit us? That's not ministry. Ministry is being a servant to the Lord and serving Him where He wants us to go. And for Jonah, there's a good reason God wanted him to go to Nineveh. If he was the greatest prophet, the most able prophet, he's the one that needed to go because he's the one that could do the job. But instead of listening to the call, he ran. And if you notice in your Bible, which I'm going to have to keep flipping open to here, if you notice, he went down to Joppa. He went down. He wanted to go down to Tarshish. And if you notice, he went down and down and down. And whenever you run from the Lord, you're always going to be down. What's amazing, he was honest enough to pay the fare, but he wasn't honest enough to listen to God. To me, I find that amazing. He's honest enough to buy a ticket to get on this cruise ship. I'm sure it was a cruise ship. And to be able to go to Tarshish, but he wasn't honest enough to listen to what God wanted for his life. Now, again, people say, well, he just wanted a vacation. I guess so. We know from other places in the Bible, a round trip to Tarshish would take 3 years. I don't think he was just running away to go on a vacation. I think he quit. He gave up. He did not want to be known as a prophet that went to the enemies of Israel to try to get them to repent and change and turn to God because they were the enemies of Israel. But I want you to know, whenever we run from God, where do we plan to run to? And that's what I don't understand, whether it's with our government, whether it's with our nation, whether it's with Christian people that often we see running away from the Lord. You can run, but where are you going to run to? There's nowhere to run except for destruction, but people do run. They run to a lot of things. They run to alcohol. They run to drugs. They run to sexual relationships. They run to a lot of things. A lot of times they just run and keep running, just living their own lives, not looking around, just looking down, living their own life, trying to be busy. But what they're running to is destruction. How many funerals have we done that you hear the loved ones say, well, they're not suffering no more. And the person wasn't a Christian. They didn't go to church. They had never been baptized. Well, at least they're not hurting no more. Yeah, they are. I'd rather be alive in this life suffering with anything than to have to go to the next life and suffer in hell. And I'm telling you, when we run away from our purpose as Christians, we're not just hurting ourselves, but we're hurting other people around us who need to hear the truth. Now we see the fact that not only did Jonah get a call, not only did Jonah run because he's in such great shape, but we also see the fact that Jonah was trapped. He trapped himself over here in 6 through 10. So the captain approached him and said, now, again, what was he doing down in the boat again? He's asleep. Now, how is it that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God, and perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we're not going to perish. Verse 7 says, and each man said to his mate, come, let us cast lots, that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, now you tell us on whose account has this calamity struck? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? And what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely frightened and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I mean, you can just imagine the scene. The storm's getting worse. Every moment it's getting darker. The rain's beating the ship. I mean, the water's coming across the deck. Everybody's starting to get seasick because it's the worst storm they'd ever been in. These probably are experienced seamen. So they know they better lighten the boat or they're going to sink to the bottom like a stone. So they're dumping out. And this is the first tea party. They're dumping out all the tea. They're dumping out all the cargo. They're trying everything they can. They're trying to call on their God. And then they think of Jonah. Jonah is downstairs inside the boat, smoothing it. He's sleeping. He's resting. He's relaxing. He was in his cabin. And it was ridiculous. The captain even asked him, "How in the world can you sleep when we're all going to die?" And he said, "Well, get up. I know you got it, God. Call on him because our God's not listening to us." And what's amazing to me is Jonah got up, but he didn't pray. I mean, this is a special kind of guy. I mean, this is the kind of guy, he is ornery, 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 and not the good kind. I'm ornery, but I'm the fun kind. This guy is ornery, and he's the bad kind. I mean, he got up, but he didn't pray. He didn't call upon God. He just watches everybody else run around the ship like a chicken with their head cut off, dumping out the cargo, crying out to their God, and probably snickering. He did not care. It was easier for him to sleep to what God wanted him to be. And I can tell you, we're living in a time now for Christians, it's easier to stay busy, it's easier to sleep, and it's easier to do everything else but to listen to the commands of the Lord. If the good Lord didn't want us to have the Bible, He would have never had it written. If He didn't want us to obey it, He would have never had it written. And I know it's narrow-minded, but I still believe the Bible needs to be obeyed. It still needs to be preached. It still needs to be proclaimed. And it's up to us to do it. I mean, if we're not going to do it, who in the world do we expect to do it? There are, I don't know how many cars are passing this church right now. I mean, you can hear it. You hear the preaching, hopefully. You might even hear the grass growing, I don't know. But you hear the cars passing and passing. And I wonder, out of all these cars, do they see their real need? They're busy with their lives, with their marriages. Many that pass have problems at home. Maybe many are going through divorces. Their kids are running away. Some of them might have got laid off. Some of them don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And they're running and running, but there's no place to go. They don't see their need. And for Jonah, he was trapped. And he did not realize. See, he could sleep good, but I wonder if he could sleep as easy if he knew what was swimming underneath the boat, under a few inches of planks. I wonder if he was able to rest and relax if he knew what was keeping pace with his ship. See, though he didn't know the plan of God at the moment, there was a fish in the water that knew the plan of God, and he was waiting for the crumb to fall off the boat so he could swallow it up. God had him trapped. And he was going to have to make a choice in the next 3 days out of what he was going to do. And I'm telling you that God was trying to show him his need. And this was a hard nut to crack, to say the least. I want you to know that these men were fearful. And when they cast lots, they found out it was Jonah. And they had all these questions. Look at it again. What is your occupation? I'm a prophet. Where do you come from? The land of Israel. What is your country? The great nation of the Jews. From what people are you? And he actually said, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God of heaven and who made the sea and the dry land." When those guys heard that, they were scared to death because that didn't sound like their God. See, they were already told that he was running, and you ask, well, why didn't they care? It's because in their theology, in their belief, they believed that their gods only had local power. And so for the god of Philistia, Dagon, the fish god, you know, that god only has power over his nation. I want you to know, Jonah told them up front, hey, my God is the God of heaven, earth, sea. My God's the real deal. He's the God of everything and everywhere. And when they heard that, they were scared and they wanted to know, then why in the world are you on this boat with us? See, because Jonah didn't see his need. He didn't see his call. He didn't see the fact that his running was in the wrong direction, and he didn't see the fact that he was trapped. He didn't just hurt himself, but he hurt everybody else. When we don't take our Christianity serious, the only person we're hurting is us and everybody else and God. It's about time for the church to wake up again and start seeing the need that not just the person across the street has, but the need we have personally with ourselves. Also, we see that Jonah just didn't care, and that's one of the most amazing parts to this account. If you notice, we're knocking along in this. I generally could preach on this for about 6 hours, but I'm trying to be merciful to you. And people say that I'm long-winded. You don't believe it. It's a lie. 11 through 14 says, So they said to him, "Now what should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And I love this. He said, "You pick me up, throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." But look at 13. "However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called to the Lord and said, 'We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased.'" To me, it's amazing. Now, again, these fishermen or these seamen or these cruise people, however you want to look at it, I want you to know they were Gentiles. They served false gods. Right? Right? But they cared more about Jonah's life and thought Jonah's life was more valuable. Well... Yeah, if someone's got a phone, call 911.
Brian's got it.
Got it.
He's got it.
Paramedic in here?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're going to have to... Hopefully they'll get here pretty quick.
Is she out?
No, they can't get the door open. It's stuck. So, where I was at, this is okay. Yeah, heathens. Jonah's the heathens. Yeah, take me back. Okay. If I tell you all the preaching stories, what has happened while I've preached over the years, most amazing thing. I'm sure you guys can too. The most amazing things. I preached in the dark. I mean, I've preached. Anyhow. So Jonah thought they had no value. They had no worth. But yet they saw value in Jonah. I'm kind of old-fashioned, but I think people are valuable. In fact, what amazes me so much, and I've seen it over the years, and... It gets me upset is when I see Christian people don't see in the value of somebody else. How many times have you seen that? Well, if someone comes in and they're dirty and they're nasty and they stink, they should still be shown respect and love. It doesn't matter if they're on drugs. It doesn't matter if they're an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if they've got the worst problems in their life. Maybe they're a prostitute. But those are the kind of people, when they come in for whatever reason, maybe they want something for nothing, I don't know. But as a church, we should respect them and love them and see them as valuable and try to at least help a little bit to the fact to show them that their way's not right. It's easy to throw someone to the curb, but it's really a lot more work to give somebody our time. Jonah, oh, he was famous. He might have been rich. I don't see why he wouldn't be. But I want you to know, though his people would listen to him, it was all about him. He was so selfish. And when God finally had him trapped, what's amazing to me is this guy didn't care. He did not care. He did not care. He simply told them, and of course we're not going to get in that discussion whether, you know, what was Jonah doing? He said, "Throw me over." Well, why? Was it because he knew that God was going to save him? Or would he rather die in the sea than to go to Nineveh? My personal humble opinion, and it's only an opinion, it's not worth a whole lot, I think he would have rather died in the sea than to have ever went to Nineveh. To me, that's amazing. To me, that is amazing. He did not care about lost souls, and he had lost souls right here he was willing to jeopardize on this boat. And so he didn't care. He was willing to jeopardize them. And going forward, it comes down to this. See, his greatest need was this. He didn't have any love. Over here in 15 through 17, it says this. "So they picked up Jonah. They threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord assigned a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I want you to know the greatest need of Jonah and his greatest problem is he didn't have any love. The greatest problem in the church today, in my humble opinion, is the church doesn't have any love. Our love for the Lord has died down. We don't love the lost. I mean, I'm just coming right out and saying that for the most part, the church does not love the lost. Oh, we believe in the Lord's Supper. That's good. That's essential. We believe in baptism, and that's essential. I agree. Totally essential. But do we believe in the Great Commission? No, I don't think so. And that's the reason the church is either in neutral or the church is in reverse, because we've got the call and we're running the wrong direction. Many times God gets us trapped being around unchristian people, and bottom line is we don't care. And it comes down to the fact that we don't have the right love anymore. We don't have the love of God in the church. We don't have the love of God in our preaching. And I'm telling you what, it's time to return to the love of Jesus Christ, because He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. And that means you. That means me. And I don't know about you. Maybe you used to walk on the water. I don't know. But I didn't. And I know where God took me. And I know where He brought me. And I am grateful that Jesus saved my soul. He saved my life. And I know if I would die tonight, I have not earned heaven. But I'm going to get in by the grace of Jesus Christ. I don't have any scars. I've been very privileged. I think I'm rich in comparison to the rest of the world. I have missed a few meals, as you can see. That shows you that my wife and I fight a lot. No, I'm joking. We don't really. We're going to tonight now. But I want you to know, being an American and being a Christian, I've lived a good life. A life that I've probably taken for granted, and maybe you have too. A life that the rest of the world doesn't understand. And what we need to do is we need to love those around us, because we are the answer. We know Jesus. We know the Bible. That's what we claim. Therefore, we need to take the gospel to the lost and to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole theme of the book of Jonah is the love for the Gentiles. That's the whole theme to the book of Jonah, is the love for the Gentiles. It's always been God's plan to seek and to save that which is lost, as Jesus said in Luke 19:10, after He got done with Zacchaeus. And I want you to know, and I like to say this, of course, I teach the history of Israel for Summit. They needed one more guy, and I was the only guy they could find. But I also have taught the book of Jonah. And I love saying this when I teach it. Whenever I talk about Jonah, I talk about Jonah and the whale. Because it is possible that a whale did swallow Jonah. Again, I know that's my opinion. I won't die on that hill. But it is possible that a sperm whale swallowed Jonah. And so we don't know that, but I'm saying that's what happened. And so when he finally got swallowed up, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights before he came back to life. But it was in that well that he did pray, and he had a choice to make, either to repent and to go to Nineveh or to become fish poop. And he was in that well for 3 days and three nights, and that thing finally vomited him up. And even a well can't keep a mission-minded person in his stomach. So the question is, what are you going to do? I guess the theme's been preaching. And the 21st century church versus the first century church. What we need to do as a church that believes in the Lord is we need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We need to fall in love with His Word all over again. And we need to take that love out to this lost world. Because as you can see so perfectly, your life can change in 1 second. So if you think you can just keep living life like you want and keep going in the direction that you're going, the good Lord, He can stop you just like that. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we do love You. We do thank You. Lord, this sermon has definitely been so wild. Lord, this wasn't even the sermon I was going to preach. It's a sermon, Lord, that I had put together, honestly, within about 10 minutes, because it just seemed like that's what I needed to do. And Lord, even in the sermon, it just seemed like there was a lot of things happening. But Lord, I think it's what needed to be preached, and I'm glad I did change in the time that we did. Because, Lord, we need to fall in love with you all over again. You sent your only Son to come on this earth and to die on a cross and to pay for our sins. And if that can't keep us interested, if that can't keep us on fire, then, Lord, we're in worse shape than I ever dreamed or imagined. Help us, those who are here, the 20 or 30, just to love you enough to share Jesus, because it was first shared of us. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said.
Amen. All right, would you please stand? We have just a few more minutes together.
So okay, go ahead.
If you will, I'll sing that one more.